Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Nun Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 4 lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Before we begin our shiur, let us glance at the outside margin where you will see featured the Nosei, the topic heading. We have in our Shas Ozer, that's the Shas that appears on your screen, the cornerstone of Gemara markings, providing topic headings and structural notes that we entitle Mivneh when necessary. In this case, we have as our topic heading the following: Hamokor de'ein tormin mimin al she'eino mino. The source for this point of law that we don't mafrish, we don't tithe from one variety to cover another variety. An example of that would be, if I have, let us say, some barley, I don't take off untithed barley to cover some untithed wheat that I may have as well. But rather, each variety needs to be tithed separately. So we now start the Gemara Tanan Hossam. We have a Tanaic source in the context of grain tithes. Ein tormin mimin al she'eino mino. One is not to tithe from one variety to exempt another variety. Ve'im toram, if he did, ein trumaso truma. So that which he tithed from one to exempt the other, the tithe is not binding. It doesn't take hold. Mino hanimili, what is the source for this? Omar Rebbe Ami, Omar Rebbe Yanai, the Amri Law, another version of the names Omar Rebbe Ami, Omar Rebbe Shimon ben Lakish. In this version, instead of Rebbe Ami quoting Rebbe Yanai, he quotes Rebbe Shimon ben Lakish. The Pasuk says, Kol Chelev Yitzor, V'chol Chelev Tirosh V'dogon. That is the Pasuk in Bamidbar, Perek Yudches, Pasuk Yud Beis. And in looking at this Pasuk, the Gemara Darshins Omro Torah Tein Chelev Lozeh V'Chelev Lozeh. Chelev is an expression referring to the tithe, or the truma, so that it's the repetition of the word Chelev in the Pasuk would indicate that each variety needs a separate tithing. Now, just by way of translation, the terms in the Pasuk Yitzhar is a reference to oil, olive oil, and Tirosh is a reference to wine or grapes, Dogon a reference to grains, so that each variety needs a separate tithe. So the Gemara goes on the top line of Nun Dalet Omen Aleph, Ashkechon Tirosh V'Yitzar. In looking at this Pasuk, I see that Tirosh has its own Chelev and Yitzar has its own Chelev. So I understand that each needs a separate tithe. In other words, I couldn't tithe from the oil to exempt wine. However, Tirosh V'Dogon, Dogon V'Dogon Minayin, from where do you know that one is not to tithe from Tirosh, from wine, to cover grains? After all, when you look at the Pasuk there at the bottom of Amud Beis, of Nun Gimel Amud Beis, Tirosh and Dogon are stated under the same Chelev word. And Dogon V'Dogon, certainly, Dogon is an umbrella expression referring to grains, and we know there are 5 types of grains, including wheat, barley, and others. So how do I know that you're not to be mafrish, you don't tithe from wheat to cover barley, or barley to cover rye, or wheat to cover spelt, which are a couple of those different grains? How do I know that? Before we go any further in the Gemara, we have a new marking, this house shape, and on the side of the Gemara, on the outside margin, the house is featured. It's a ma'akav. It's an attempt to keep track, because as you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice that this house shape flips back and forth with the point up, point down, point up, point down, on and on. And in fact, this continues till the upper to a good part of Nun Dalet Amid Beis as well. So we call this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth or give and take nature of this discussion. With the point facing up, we have written on the side, she'elos. They represent questions. Minayin shelo mafrishin mimin al she'eno mino. From where do I know that you're not mafrish from one variety on another? Lamrot sheshneim mugdorim kedogon. Even though I know that both are categorized as grains. Kamo chita asura, like wheat on barley. And the house, when it flips over, represents answers. We might as well say ahead of time that this structure, this notation that we use, will continue on in the Gemara, and we have indicated that that the topic continues with another topic entry a little lower on the page, where after discussing grains, the Gemara will discuss hafroshes of different kinds of behemoths, one on the other. And that's what we've indicated in our note. L'kamon ha-gemor todun b'hafroshos minim shonim shel behemos. Let us now continue then with the Gemara itself. Our question is, when you look at the pasuk that indicates one cannot tithe from one variety on the other, so we see the word chelev, which refers to truma, refers to a tithe associated with the oil and associated with the wine. So I see from there clearly that wine on oil or oil on wine cannot be used to tithe one for the other. However, oil for wine to cover grains or within grains themselves, how do I know not to tithe one on the other? So the Gemara answers. Its answer takes a couple of lines to develop, and that's indicated by the long answer marking you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a tuf that's contained within an inverted house marking. All of the lines of Gemara opposite this constitute the answer. So the Gemara says, Kal v'chomer, we apply Kal v'chomer logic. Uma tirosh v'yitzor she'enon kilayim ze boze eim misasrin mize alze. Mind you, olive trees and grapevines. The tirosh is grapevines. Yitzor is a reference to olive trees. They don't represent a problem of mixed breeding if they're planted within the even if they're planted within the proximity of each other. So that if you put an olive seed in the ground and a grape seed in the ground and they grow into two separate trees, you're not in violation of mixed breeding. And yet they cannot be used to tithe one for the other. Tirosh v'dogon. Dogon v'dogon shehem kilayim zebozeh. Grapevines and grains, or two different types of grains. These are things that are forbidden to plant one with the other. So they're already in the realm of kilayim. They are forbidden to be together. Eino din shelo yisasru mizalzeh. Certainly then, they cannot be used to tithe for one another. So with the Kal v'chomer logic, I get to my result. I get what I'm looking for, namely that grain to cover grain or wine to cover grain certainly would not be allowed to be used to tithe one for the other. The Gemara asks that conclusion is all fine and good if you accept the laws of Kilayim as we stated them. However, Ula Rabbi Yoshia, Diomar ad shizrachita usora v'chartzim b'mapoilas yad hechi maisi law. According to Rabbi Yoshi, has a much more lenient approach to kilayim. In other words, that which we described above, grain with wine or grains with grains, as far as Rabbi Yoshi is concerned, that does not represent kilayim. So I can't use that Kal v'chomer logic, which subsumed a kilayim prohibition as we stated, when it comes to Rabbi Yoshia. So according to Rabbi Yoshua, who says, and I will translate what he said, Ad Shi Yizra, that there is no Kilayim violation until you plant Chitav Sor V'Chartzon, it's a wheat, a barley, and a grape seed, but Mapolis Yad, in one hole, in one planting. So if that's the case, Sehechi Maisi Law, how will he derive the prohibition of tithing from one type of grain on the other, or from grapes on grain, when those cases, as far as Rabbi Yoshua is concerned, don't constitute kilayim? The Gemara answers, as far as Rabbi Yoshua is concerned, we can still derive the prohibition of tithing from wine on grapes, or two different kinds of grains, for each other. Maisi lo hochi. He will derive it as follows. Uma tirosh v'yitzor she'enon kilayim zebozeh afilu al yedei dovor achir. If you were to take a grape seed, an olive seed, and a third variety, and plant them together, you are still not in violation of kilayim, and still, even though they're, as far as their togetherness is concerned, there is no problem. Togetherness, as far as kilayim, there's no problem. Yet, ein misasrin mizeh al zeh, still, you can't mafresh tirosh on yitzar, because the pasuk said chelev chelev for each one separately. So you have these substances, tirosh and yitzar, that if you have a third variety with them, they really don't present a kilayim problem. And yet you can't mafresh one on the other. Tirosh v'dogon, dogon v'dogon, cases of wine and grains, or two different kinds of grains. You have two elements that if you add a third element to either case, you will have kilayim. Shehen kilayim zeboza al yedei dover achir. You've already got a problem with these two initial things, tirosh and dogon, or dogon and dogon. Just add a third element. And the Dover Acher, let's go over the cases. In the case of Tirosh V'Dogon, as far as Rabbi Yoshua is concerned, if you add to that another grain, Tirosh is grape, grape seed, Dogon is a wheat. If you add a barley, you've got a Kilayim problem. Or if you have barley and wheat, that's Dogon V'Dogon, and you add a grape seed, you've got Kilayim. So you have these two cases which are more severe Kilayim-wise. So Shehin kilayim zeba ayyadei dover achir, eno din, shelo yisasru mizelzin, and all the more so, you won't be able to mafresh one to cover the other. Namely, you can't mafresh tirosh to cover dogon or dogon to cover dogon, as far as Rabbi Yoshua is concerned as well. The Gemara asks, Shnei minim ba'alman minolon. How do you know not to mafresh from, let's say, pomegranates to cover figs? Those were not referred to in the pasuk. So how do you know those are not to be tithed one to cover the other? So the Gemara answers, Hani de rabboninu. The Shnei minim ba'alma. Anything other than oil, wine, and grains are rabbinic in nature. Rabbinic meaning it's only of a rabbinic requirement to tithe them. So how do I know that those are not to be tithed one for the other either? The Gemara answers, Hani d'rabbonin inu, v'chol d'tokinu rabbonon, ke'en d'raisa tokinu. As we just said, other varieties are rabbinic in obligation, and when the Rabbanan establish their laws, they pattern them after the Torah law. Ma do raiso shnei minim eno misasr mizeh al zeh, the Rabbananami, just like when it comes to Torah-required items for tithing, grains, or oil, and wine, you cannot mafresh one variety to cover the other. So too, when it comes to rabbinic requirements as well, don't try to tithe using one to exempt the other. One variety to exempt the other variety. Omalei Rovo Bar Rav Chonon Labaye. At this point, the Gemara now lapses into a new area of tithing, but the flow of question-answer continues. And on the side of our Gemara, we have noted the Nosei and indicated, most importantly, Hemshech. We're continuing. Minayin de b'maiser behema. How do you know, within the realm of animal tithing, lo mafrish mi boker atzon, that you're not to mafrish from heavy cattle to cover light cattle? And that's, for example, cows to exempt goats, or vice versa. You shouldn't mix them together when you're counting the animals in the group of 10. Avol mafrish mikvosam aizim. However, you can assemble a group of 10 animals containing the that year's births of sheep and goats. So these are halachas we're going to discuss as we go on. So Rova says to Abai, Rova bar Avchonin says to Abai Lami'ato, based on what we've said till now, where the laws of separate, of keeping varieties separate when it comes to plant tithing, was based on the pasuk where we saw Chelev Tirosh and Chelev Yitzhar at the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Beis, Gabi Meiser Behema de Lo Ksiv. When it comes to Meiser Behema, the pasuk does not say the following. This is interesting because it's presented in the Gemara as if it were a pasuk, but it's not. It doesn't say V'chol Maser Boker U'Meiser Tzon. It says, rather, if you look at the side of the Gemara, we've provided the real pasuk from Vayikra Chav Zayin Pasuk Lamed Beis. It says in the pasuk V'chol Maser Boker Vitzon. There isn't a separate Meiser word for Boker and for Tzon, but rather the one Meiser, one word Meiser covers Boker and Tzon together. And that pasuk says V'chol Maser Boker Vitzon Kol Shei Avotachas Hashevet Asur Yeh Kodesh Lashem. That pasuk is referring to the need to tithe animals. So in that case, where you don't have a separate word of hafrosha or of tithing for each variety, are you going to tell me yisasru mizeh alzeh, that you can assemble a group of 10 animals containing boker and sown, boker cows, sown sheep and goats, a group of 10 containing both varieties, and do a tithe that way? Omar le, Abaye answers, no, I wouldn't say that, because Omar kro, Ho Asiri. In that very same pasuk, you have the word Ho Asiri, and if you look in the pasuk, we have it again providing it for you on the inside margin. We've dashed underlined the keywords in the pasuk. You see Ho Maser Boker Vitzon, and then later in the pasuk it says Ho Asiri Yeh Kodesh Lashem. So the word Ho Asiri is very similar to the word Meiser, and from that we learn Tein Asiri Lozeh, V'Tein Asiri Lozeh. Boker has its own Asiri, so that the word you see in the beginning of the Pasuk, the word Meiser is close to Boker, and the word Ho Asiri is closer to Tzon, as you read on in the Pasuk. In other words, the animal closest to Ho Asiri is the expression Tzon, so that each one has its own word of tithing. Question, Ihochi kvosim v'izim nami, if you're saying that each variety gets its needs its to be tied separately, are you going to say the same thing for sheep and goats? The basis of this question is elaborated on more extensively in the Rashi. However, for our purposes, let's just take that at face value. If you're saying right now that each variety, boker and tzon, need their own separate tithing, in other words, they're to be tithed as separate groups, so too, it would stand to reason, just like we established when it came to different grains, they have to be tithed separately. Say, even sheep and goats should be tithed separately. And yet we learned in our Mishnah that Kvosim and Izim can be tithed together. So the Gemara answers, Vitzon, the word Vitzon that appears in the Pasuk that we cited, Mashma Kol Tzon Echad. The Pasuk itself appears to group all tzon together, and tzon is an umbrella expression referring to sheep and goats. So they're grouped together, hence I can form a group of 10 animals containing sheep and goats and tithe them together. Well, the Gemara asks, Hochanami, if you go back to the topic of grains, v'dogon, mashma kol dogon echad, the word v'dogon is an umbrella expression referring to all grains. So are you going to say that all grains are considered one and I would be able to tithe from wheat to exempt barley? Omar Abaye. Abaye responds, he's the first of two responses. Reishi Sum. There is another pasuk. This is from Bamidbar, Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Beis. That, V'chein Omar Rebbe Lozar, Re-shi-sam. Now, what does that accomplish? So if we look in the Rashi, Re-shi-sam on the second narrow line of Rashi, Samuch ledogon havi Re-shi-sam. The word Re-shi-sam in that pasuk is next to the word Vidogon. And it was right before Re-shi-sam in the pasuk. As you can see, quoted on the side of our Gemara, you have the word Vidogon. Lomar tein reishis l'chol dogon v'dogon. That means to reishis is a reference to the truma tithe, that you shall tithe each kind of dogon separately. Rava Omar. Now Rava has his response to this particular question, but it takes a number of lines to develop, hence we've labeled it a long point. And you'll see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara a nun that's encircled with a vertical descending dashed line, indicating that all of these lines constitute the point. We also have a Roman numeral number 1, because later in the Gemara, if you skim down the little space here between the Gemara and the Tosfos text, you will see a Roman numeral number 2 positioned at a point in the Gemara where an Ikar D'Amri expression is, that means another version. The squiggle underline Ikar D'Amri indicates another version of presenting this particular discussion. In our Gemara markings where alternatives are presented, we usually squiggle underline the expression indicating an alternative, as we did in this case, Ikar D'Amri. But till we get there, let's focus on Rava's response to the issue. To review the issue, just like tzon serves as an umbrella expression, why is it, and that gives us license to make a group of 10 animals made of sheep and goats and tithe them thusly, why is it when it comes to grains, where you see the word vidogon, which would seem to indicate all grains are considered one, that I would be able to tithe barley to exempt wheat, or vice versa? Why don't we say that? So Abaye gave his answer, and that was based on the pasuk Re-shi-sam. Rava says, Rava Amar Beloi Re-shi-sam Nami, without the expression Re-shi-sam. Even in its absence, I still would not have said Lo Motzis Amris Vidogon Mashma Kol Dogon Echad. I wouldn't have thought to say that Vidogon is an umbrella expression for all grains together.
I understand well, in the case of animal ties, that the word vitzon is an umbrella expression.
If one were to think that sheep and goats, nami also, you cannot tithe together, lichtov, the posuk could have simply said, the whole meiser behemoth. And Rashi elaborates on this. The Isalkodaitik Rashi on the upper part of the narrow line says the Isalkodaitik Vosavizim Nami Lolasu Adodi, that they too cannot be tithed together. Lichtoiv Rachmona the Posuk could have said V'chol Maser Behemo V'Anoyodano, and I would have known the Min Al Sheino Mino Lo. And I would have known from the word, even though the Torah uses a general expression of aim, I know that different varieties cannot be used to tithe one on the other. The osi mikal v'chomer mechodesh v'yoshan. We could have used kal v'chomer logic from the realm of chodesh v'yoshan, and the kal v'chomer would have said, chodesh and yoshan are this year's and last year's births. And we know that those cannot be tithed one on the other. You have to tithe last year's births separately from this year's births. And the kal v'chomer would have said, mind you, chodesh and yoshan, which can be mated together, you can take sheep of last year and mate them with sheep of this year, they're not kilayim zebozeh, and still you cannot tithe one on the other. Any types of animals that would be kilayim would be usher to mix breed together. Certainly you would not be able to tithe one on the other. Let us skip these brackets that we see in the Gemara just for a moment. The Pusik could have said Behema, and the bracket length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, the vertical dash dotted line shows you how long the bracketed section is. So we're saying the Torah could have written V'chol Maser Behema,
and I would have known from that not to tithe one variety on the other. Bokar v'tzon lomali, notice we skipped the brackets. Why does the Torah enumerator specify bokar v'tzon, which are really subcategories of the word behema? Why does it say that? Bokar v'tzon hu the ein misasrin mizal zeh. What we learn from here is that cows on goats or cows on sheep, that cannot be, they cannot be tied together. Avol, we infer, kvosim v'izim misasrin. But kvosim and izim, you could mafrish one on the other. That sheep could be used to tie together with goats. So that's as far as boker and son are concerned. Avol hocha, but when it comes to grains, Misagi deloksiv dogon limute sharminim. Could the Torah not have written dogon? The Torah had to write dogon because dogon is there to exclude other kinds of plants or produce that is not chayav min haTorah. So the use of the word dogon isn't here to serve as an umbrella expression grouping all grains together. It's needed to exclude other kinds of produce from the need for tithing from the Torah. So Rava's point is, I wouldn't have thought to lump all grains together in the first place. So I don't need, as Abaye said, I don't need the word reshisam to indicate that each variety of grain is treated separately. Because I never would have thought that they are to be treated together. Now, we did skip a bracketed section of Gemara. We did that in order to preserve the flow, as we did to make the reading easier. But now, we'll go over the Gemara again, this time including the bracketed section. So we'll start from Rava. Rava Omar, where Rava has been underlined at the beginning of our long point marking. Rava Omar, Beloi reishisam nami lo matzus amris v'dogon mashma kol dogon echad. Even without writing the word reishisam, I would not have thought to view v'dogon as an umbrella expression, lumping them all the different grains together. Bishlamo hasam amrinon v'tzon. I understand well in animal tithings, the Torah uses the word v'tzon, mashma kol tzon echad, that it is an umbrella expression to group together sheep and goats as one. If one were to think sheep and goats must also be treated separately in animal tithing, lichtov, the pasuk could have written the chol meiser behema. V'chitema iksiv chol meiser behema. And you might say, look, the Torah never could have written the chol meiser behema because had it written that, havi amino afilu chaya, I would have thought to include even undomesticated kosher variety animals in a need for tithing. Well, you wouldn't have thought that. Tachas, tachas, mi kochim gomar. I would have excluded chayas from tithing based on the word comparison of tachas, which you find by meiser behema, and the word tachas you find by korbonos, by sacrifices. And we know by sacrifices, chayas are not brought. So too, by animal tithing, chayas would not be included. So I would have learned the exclusion of chayas anyway, and by stating behemo, I wouldn't have thought to include chayas. V'asu b'kal v'chomer mechadosh v'yoshan. And as far as kvosim and izim are concerned, there I would have derived that you could not tithe one for the other from a kal v'chomer from chodosh and yoshan, as we stated earlier. Boker v'tzon lomali. So why did the Torah write boker v'tzon? Once again, the Torah could have, if it's true that that kvosim and izim would not be able to be tithed one for the other, the Torah could have simply written v'chol meiser behema. So why does the Torah write boker v'tzon? To tell me, boker v'tzon hu de'emes rasim izal zeh, that boker cannot be used to tie together with tzon, avo kvosim izim misasrin. They could be used together. They can be grouped together for tithing. That's as far as animals are concerned. Avol hocha, but when it comes to the issue of different varieties of grains, mi sagi delo kosav dogon lemute sharminim, could the Torah not have written dogon which is there to exclude other varieties that don't need tithing from a Torah perspective. So the presence of the word Dovan is not here in order to group together all different kinds of grains. Maskiflo Rav Huna Bar Nosan. Rav Huna approaches what we've said as follows. Rashi elaborates a bit more on how where Rava Bar Huna is coming from, but according to Rava Bar Huna, if you're telling me I don't need the word Reishisam, maybe I don't darshan the word Ho'asiri either. And if that be the case, maybe that which it says Boker and Son, Emol the Arvu the Boker of its own. Rav Huna Bar Nosan is asking a revolutionary question. He's saying maybe the presence of Boker of its own, once you tell me I don't need Reishisa, maybe I don't need Ho'asiri either. And it comes out that Boker of its own is written in the Torah to tell me quite the opposite. That you can group together Boker and Son for tithing. Omar le Marzutra Brei Rav Nachman. So Marzutra says to Rav Huna Bar Nosan, le Rava is le Nami ho Asiri. Now notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. This helps you align this line with the top line where there's also an arrow, where when the issue of Boker V'Tzon came up, and even though, as we said at the beginning of this section, we said you don't have a separate word Meiser for Boker and Tzon, however, you do have the word Ho'asiri, which is attached to Tzon, and Rava does subscribe to that drusha. In other words, even though Rava doesn't need the word Reishisam in the Pasuk found in Bamidbar Yudches Pasuk Yud Beis, nevertheless he does place an emphasis or a premium on the presence of the word Ho'asiri in Vayikra Chav Zayin Pasuk Lamed Beis. So as far as that suggestion is concerned, that's rejected. It's rejected straight out. Namely, there is no that one would not tithe from Boker and Son together, but they must be tithed separately. Iko Diamri. You'll notice that we have a Roman numeral number 2. You'll see now a second version of Rava. Iko Diamri, Omar Rava, below Asiri, Nami, Lo Motzis Amris, Boker Vitzon, Mis Aserin, Mizeh Alzeh. Here, Rava is saying that without the word Ho'asiri, in other words, he's now focusing in this version. Rava is, as opposed to Roman numeral number 1, where Rava was telling us, I don't need a grain-related word, namely Reishisam. In this version, he's telling me I don't need the Ho'asiri word that's found by Meiser Behema. So he's saying, even without Ho'asiri, I never would have thought to group together Boker and Son. Why not? The Iskish Meiser Behema la Meiser Dogon. The Torah compares the tithing of animals to the tithing of grains. Ma Meiser Dogon mi min al she'eno mino loi. Just like by grains, one does not tithe from one variety on the other. Af meiser behemo mimin al she'eno mino lo. So too, when it comes to animal tithing, one does not tithe from one on the other. The Gemara asks, "V'ha Rava hu di Omar shana l'shana hikshesiv v'loi l'dover achir." Rava has said earlier, back on Daf Nun Gimel, that there is in fact a grain animal comparison, but that's only with respect to the issue of last year and this year, the issue of don't tithe from one year on the other. But with regard to the issue of varieties are concerned, not to tithe from one variety on the other, there is no comparison. So it may very well be that by grains you don't mafresh from one min on the other, but by animals you could. The Gemara answers, Hodar be Rava mehahi. Rava has backed out of limiting the animal grain comparison, but rather the animal grain comparison is expanded not only to the issue of last year, this year, but also to the issue of varieties. V'iboyaseima, another approach to this last question about, hey, but didn't Rava say the grain animal comparison was limited? It could be chado minei Rav Papa Amra, that one of these two teachings Rav Papa said. So it could be that, let's say, Rav Papa said the animal grain comparison is limited, but as far as Rava is concerned, the animal grain comparison is not limited, and therefore the suggestion of boker being tied together with sown is rejected even without the word asiri. Maiser behemo, the Mishnah says, mitstarif kumlo regel behemo roya. Before actually reading this Mishnah, we should glance at the side to look at our topic heading. Shi'ur, under the nosei heading, you see it says shi'ur merchok bein behemos, the distance between animals, between groups of animals, v'adayin mitstarfus le'eser le'maiser behemo, and yet they will join together to form a group of 10. Now, we've said up till now that if a person has births of animals in his herd or in his flock, so there's a need to tithe the births of every given year. There would have to be a minimum of 10 animals born in order for us to require a tithing. Let's say he owns 10 animals, but they're located on two different sides of the world. So 5 animals in Israel and 5 animals in Australia will not generate a chiyuv of hafroshas meiser behema. However, if you have 5 animals in one barn and 10 feet away 5 animals, that newborn animals in another barn that are just 10 feet away, so they will need to be tied because they're considered a group of 10, even though they're in different structures. So our question right now, which the Mishnah addresses, is what's the distance, the maximum distance between two groups of animals, groups of animals born that year, and still they're considered one group with regard to requiring the Meiser Behemoth tithe. So our Mishnah says, once again, Meiser Behemoth Mitstaref, groups of animals will join together, Kimlo Regel Behemoth Roya. That's an expression, and as far as what's the distance, v'kamohi regel behema roya, what is that distance? Tes zayin mil, a distance of 16 mil, something close to 16 kilometers between the two groups of animals. And if the two groups of animals are within that distance of one another, so they will join up to form a group of 10. Now, we will look at Rashi. He presents two explanations of this expression of Rego Behemo Roya. Looking at the Mishnah, Rashi commentary on the Mishnah, on the first wide line under the Gemara text, you see, Mitstaref Kemlo Rego Behemo Roya, Rashi says, Kefi Shi'ur Shehabehemo Misrachekes Veholeches Kshiroya, how far does an animal wander off when it's grazing? Tahinu tezayin milin. An animal will wander from its starting point 16 mil while it grazes. Lishna achrino kfi masha habehemos rechoykos zu mizou viyacholus lishtamir baroya echot. How far can animals be apart from one another and a shepherd will still have his eye on them? V'hainu tezayin milin forsh begmora dochisholta eino deroya, 16 mil, because that's the distance that a shepherd could have his eye on an animal. In other words, the field of vision that a roa has extends to 16 mil. Mil, a distance, as we said before, one mil is 2,000 amos, an amo being half a meter, and therefore it would be 1,000 meters or a kilometer. These are, of course, approximate distances, just to make it to bring it closer to home, so to speak. Ve'im yeshlo chamisha behemos bekvar zeh, Rashi goes on to say, if he has 5 animals in one village, ve'chamisha behemos bekvar acher, rochoik mizeh tezayin milin, and another 5 animals in another village, 16 mil away, mevion l'soch dir echod masron, he can bring them into one barn,
and tithe them. If they are more than 16 meal apart, then they are exempt. Now let us turn back to the Mishnah. Hoyu bein elu le'elu lamed beis is 32 meal. If there is a gap of 32 meal between the groups, then they don't join up. Now this line is obviously in need of elucidation, because we just got finished saying that the maximum distance is 16 meal. What is the point in teaching 32 meal when even if they're 17 meal apart, they wouldn't join up? So this will be discussed in the Gemara. Continuing in the Mishnah, Hoyu lo be'emtza, if there is in the middle, mevi uma'asron be'emtza. Let's glance at Rashi regarding this. Hoyu lo be'emtza, oisan ha'emtzoyos mitzarfis es etzdodim. If you have something in the middle, that and from the middle point to the extreme points is 16 meal, that which is in the middle will enable the others to join together. Behind the katoni mevi masun be'emtza lo mevi mamish komar. That which the Mishnah says bring them to the middle and tie them over there, it doesn't mean literally bring them to the middle point and do the tithing. The point is that if you have something in the middle, then those that are at the either extreme will be able to join together. What we see from here is that if you have a middle point, now we're not going to commit ourselves to what is in the middle, that is something the Gemara will point out, but from a given middle point, and something is there, and to one extreme, 16 meal away in one direction from the middle point, and 16 meal in the opposite direction from that middle point, you have another group of animals, so those groups of animals will join together. What's the distance going to be then from one extreme to the other? It just so happens the distance will be 32 meal. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hayardein Mafsik L'Maiser Behemo. Yardein is the name of a river, famous river. Now it's not a very wide river, but if you have a group of animals on one side and another group on the other side, five animals on one side of the Yardein and another five animals on the other side, they will not join together to form a group of 10. The Gemara opens with a question of from where do we know this idea about two separate groups of animals at a distance of 16 meal able to join up to form one group. Minohani mili, from where do we know this teaching? Omar Rabo Bar Shilo, the Omar Kro. The Posuk says, Uid ta'avorno hatsoin al yedei moine. Now the word ta'avorno reminds us of the word ya'avor tachas hashevet, which is a posuk that deals with the Meiser Behema itself in the Torah. Actually, on the upper part of our page, the upper inside margin, we've included Vayikra Chav Zayin Posuk Lamed Beis, where you see V'chol Meiser Bok of Etzon Kol Asher Ya'avor Tachas HaShevet. So in this Posuk, which is in Yirmiyo, you see the word Ta'avorna, and in order to appreciate this, we will glance at the Rabbeinu Gershom, where he says the second line from the bottom of the page, Tavorna Kiloshen Koshi Yavor Dechtiv Gabi Meiser. We just pointed that out. And Rashi, we look at the beginning of his Gemara commentary, Tavorna Hatzon Al Yedei Mone Mashma. Now, the implication of this is, Im Yecholos Lehimonois Beroa Echon. The word Mone is a reference to the shepherd who can count his animals. So if they can be counted by one shepherd, in other words, one shepherd is in control, mikru tzon, then they're called tzon, then the word tzon is applicable. The ta'avorno tachas hashevet lis aser. What Rashi is doing is he's using the word ta'avorno from the posuk in Yirmiyahu and applying to it the law that was stated in Vayikra Chav Zayin, which mentioned the passing under the rod, the counting rod that's used when the animals pass in single file, one after the other, to be counted. That's then, as we said, if they're under the control of one shepherd, they can then be counted the hisaser, the elo. If they're not under the control of one shepherd can't control them, then lo, then not.
Now, now that we know what this pasuk means, let's go back to the Gemara, where it said, the pasuk says, Od havorna hatzon al yedei mona, v'kim lehu l'rabbonon, and the rabbonon know, it's established within the rabbinic knowledge, the shitzar mil koshota be'ena d'roeh, that for a distance of 16 mil, the eye of the shepherd has rein, has control. So that if a shepherd is within 16 mil of the animals, he can see them and it's under his control. Therefore, if, let's say, just for simplicity purposes, if the shepherd is standing with a group of five animals and 16 mil or less, there is another group of five animals, so they are together, they're considered together under the eye of this particular shepherd. And once we know that he has control over it, we then look at the pasuk again, and it said hatzon, tavorna hatzon, so they're called tzon, and the pasuk in Meiser Behema says v'chomaser boker v'tzon, so they're considered one group of ten, even though there is this considerable distance between them. The Gemara continues, quoting that problematic line of the Mishnah, hoyu bein elu le'elu shloshim shnayim mil, if between the groups of animals there is a distance of 32 mil, ein mitstarfin. Now the Gemara asks, Shloishim mishnayim hu di ein mitstarfin ho botzir mehochi. Mitstarfin, botzir means less than. But less than 32, they would join up? That's not reasonable. The ha kotoni, but it was already stated in the Mishnah, tesayin mil, tvei lo, that only if they're at a maximum distance of 16 could they join up, but more than 16 they can't join up. So what's the point of teaching me that a distance of 32 they can't join up? At a distance of 17 mil already they wouldn't be able to join up. The Gemara answers, the reason it said that at a distance of 32 they cannot join up, Mishim de Kaboyi le Misna Seifa. Part of the Mishnah's agenda was to teach the following, the end part of the Mishnah that said Hoyu lo be'emtza mevi uma asron be'emtza. If you have something in the middle point, and from that middle point you would measure 16 amas in two opposite directions, thereby creating a distance of 32 mil from the two extremes, they could join up. The next piece of Gemara will ask, well, how much is there in the middle that enables the two extremes to join up? But just to clarify what we've said, the line in the Mishnah that said 32 don't join up is really saying as follows. If there's a gap of 32 mil between two extremes, they don't join up. However, if there is something at the midpoint between those two extremes, they would join up. And now the Gemara asks, v'kama, how much must there be at that midpoint in order for the two extremes to join up to form a group of ten? So we now see a machloikis on this between Rav and Shmuel. And we've used numbers, underlined their names, and numbered them to give you the feeling that we have a couple of opinions. Omar Rav, chomesh mikan, v'chomesh mikan, v'chomesh me'emtza. If you have at the two extremes a group of five animals, and as we said before, the two extremes are a distance of 32 mil from one another, and at the midpoint another five, they will join up. Why is it necessary to have five at the middle point? Tahani chomesh chazio lahocha v'chazio lahocha. Those five in the middle could be joined with the one extreme, where there's five, adding up to 10, and they could be joined up with the other extreme, also adding up to 10. Ushmuel Omar afilu chomesh mikan v'chomesh mikan v'echod be'emtza. Even if there is only one animal in the middle, they still will join up. And what's the rationale for that? Chazinon l'roya, we view it as if the shepherd commanded koi hocha, as if he is there at that middle point where there's a singular animal. v'karinon bein moneh, and we can now refer to this a situation of moneh. Now that's a reference to the pasuk that we saw above, where it said tavorna hatzon tachas al yedei moneh, and we said that if the shepherd has control over the group, it's considered one group. To make it easier to find where Moneh was referred to, we have provided a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which you can align with the star found above, opposite the line where Moneh appears. Now, before we go on in the Gemara, let us learn the Rashi that deals with this topic. The Rashi that we're going to be looking at, you'll see six lines from the bottom of the page, Chamisha Mikan, V'Chamisha Mikan, V'Chamisha Be'emtza. Mitzarfois, they join up. Umevion l'toch dir echod, you would bring them into one barn. Uma asron, and tie them. V'hachamesh hanosoros, badir. We've described a total of 15 animals. So I'll be tithing 10, and the balance of those animals, the five that remain, mitzarfos l'goren acher kishivaldu lo oid tlon. They'll join up with another group of animals born. Goren is an expression for regarding to like seasons. It's a grain related expression when they're harvested together. So next batch of births, they'll join up with the next batch of births, we'll say, to form a new group of 10. Avol I havi hanoch ditzado achas krovos lemtsoyos besoch tezayin miol v'oisin shebitzad sheni ruchoikus yoisin mitezayin miol. If you have a situation where you have the group in the middle was within 16 mil of one group, but more than 16 mil from the other group at the other extreme. So, oisin rechoikus piur sagamri, those five that were more than 16 mil from that middle group, they are totally exempt. They are viewed as an isolated group of five animals. The einon sriches lamtin ad shivoldu lo od tloyim starf legor and acher. Then at that point, then there would be no need to keep them around and wait till another group of five animals are born. We turn to the next, the top of Daf Nun Hey Omen Aleph, Meisvei. At this point, the Gemara raises a question on Rav. Now, Rav said that you will need to have, when you're dealing with two extreme groups at a 32 meal distance, they'll join up, but only if you have five in the middle. And the rationale was pointed out that the five in the middle is able to join with either extreme to form a group of 10, and as a result of that, they're viewed as a singular group. However, we see in the following source that if you have one in the middle, Hoyulo chomesh bekvar chananya v'chomesh bekvar oisni, you have five animals in one village, the Chananya village, and five in the village of Osni. Ein mitzarfos, they don't join up. Ad shilo achas betzipori, until you have one in Tzipori, which appears to be a town in the middle between these two communities on either side. Well, tiufta derav, from this source you see that it's sufficient if you have one in the middle. The Gemara answers, and here you have one of these wonderful situations that arises from time to time in the Shas, where the opponent actually offers an explanation defending what his opponent said. In this case, Rav and Shmuel were arguing. Here, Shmuel answers on behalf of Rav, Tirgum Shmuel Aliba de Rav. Shmuel explains this Tanaic source in favor of Rav, or to resolve it with Rav. Kagon Shehoyu Teisha Mikan V'Teisha Mikan V'Achas Be'emtza. The case of the one is a case where on either extreme there were really nine, and the one in the middle could join up with either extreme to form a group of 10. Tahi, that one in the middle, chaz yulahocha v'chaz yulahocha, it's fit to join up with either extreme. Now, we still have to explain, and that which it says in the source, it said one in Tzipori, that was not a comment on the opening of the source which spoke about five in Kfar Chanan and five in Kfar Osni, but rather it's a separate case. it's not maybe the smoothest reading, but it's sufficient to get Rav out of trouble. So that's Shmuel's explanation for as far as this source is concerned. Let's just go over that again. The source speaks about five in Far Hananya and five in Far Osni, and it tells us that, well, they're not mitzarif, because apparently these two villages are just too far away from each other, they're more than 16 mil from one another. And a separate situation, if you have one, for example, there was one in Sipori, and you have nine other animals within 16 mil of Sipori in one direction, and nine other animals in the opposite direction of Sipori, 16 mil from Sipori, while there's one in Sipori. So those groups of nine will join together so that you'll have a group of 10 plus animals. The Gemara continues. Omer Rav Papa. Rav Papa comments on Shmuel. Shmuel mentioned that one animal in the middle is sufficient to create, to join up two groups of five on either side, 16 mil from the one in the 16 to either side of the one in the middle. We gave the Hesber for that is because where that animal is located, namely at that midpoint, 16 mil from either extreme, we view it as if the shepherd is standing there. Now, following that logic, Shmuel afilu roe mitzarfon, even if there's no animal in the middle, but there was a shepherd located there. Vafilu kalev shiroya mitzarfon, even if his vessels were located there, because he eventually is going to go there to fetch his items, his vessels. Rashi says, Vafilu kalev shiroya munochin ba'oisik far, even if the vessels of that particular shepherd were in the village that's in the middle, since the roa eventually is going to go to that midpoint, the karina bein moneh, and therefore it's called moneh, as we explained earlier with regard to the pasuk that the Gemara cited at the bottom of Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Boi Rav Ashi, kalba the roya mai. What about the shepherd's dog? Let's say the shepherd's dog is in at that midpoint. Two sides of this question. Aleph, Kevon dekori levi osi lo mitzarfi. Since the roa doesn't actually have to go there to get his dog, he can summon the dog, he can call out, and the dog will come to him, so we can't say that it's as if the shepherd is there. Oi dilma, on the other hand, zimnin at times delo osi. The dog doesn't respond to his summoning, and he will need to go there to get the dog. In other words, the shepherd himself at times will need to go to that midpoint. Maybe that's reason enough. The dog's presence there at that midpoint will join the two extreme groups of animals together. Teku. So with regard to the dog question, that remains unresolved. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.